It's Sound Effect on KPLU. I'm Gabriel Spitzer, and our theme today is rivalries. And I think besides sports and maybe celebrities, one of the arenas where rivalries really play a big role is in business, right? I mean, you got Coke versus Pepsi, McDonald's versus Burger King, DC versus Marvel. So in Washington State, we have kind of a front row seat to one of the biggest, most intense business rivalries in the world, really. And I'm talking about Boeing versus Airbus. And this plays out in an interesting way here because there's all these companies that work with Boeing and service this hometown aerospace giant who have now kind of diversified and are also doing business with their biggest arch nemesis, Airbus. And that can get a little awkward, right, Ashley?
Right. Yeah, it is complicated.
Okay, this is KPLU's Ashley Gross, business and labor reporter. So you went out and you visited one of these companies recently that does business with both of the rivals. Which company did you go to?
I went to go visit Electro Impact up in Mukilteo. And let me just say right off the bat, this company has been in the news lately. The president admitted to the Puget Sound Business Journal that he's the one who sent out anonymous postcards to people in Mukilteo alerting them about plans to build a mosque there. And that's kind of blown up into a big controversy.
Yeah, there's a lot of heat on this guy now, and a lot of people are accusing him of being anti-Muslim or being xenophobic, and it's turned into this big thing. But that's not what the story's about, right?
No, it's not. And then the company says that was all separate, that was done by him, and it has nothing to do with Electro Impact. What I wanted to talk to Electro Impact about was how do they manage to be the Switzerland of aerospace? I mean, as you said, you know, they're navigating this world of these intense rivalries and doing business with not just Boeing and Airbus, but also Comac in China, Bombardier in Canada, Embraer in Brazil. So I talked with Ben Hempstead, who is chief of staff for Electro Impact.
Wait, just to be clear, this is not the guy who sent the postcards out about the mosques, right?
Right. No, he's totally separate. Ben Hempstead, he's a longtime engineer at the company and chief of staff. And he told me that that Switzerland analogy is appropriate.
The Swiss are neutral, but they make really excellent rifles. And they have a really excellent military of their own. So what we do, we like to, I kind of think of it as we equip both sides in their arms race.
Okay, so he's speaking like figuratively there, right? He's not, well, I don't know, is he speaking literally?
Yeah, no, Electro Impact does not make weapons. They do make some machines that are used in defense projects. But what the company does is makes giant tools and robotic machines that are used for putting airplane parts together. And there's not a lot of companies in the world that make these kinds of systems. Electro Impact is one of the only ones, and Boeing and Airbus really, really need the company. But at the same time, they have really tightly guarded trade secrets. So Electro Impact is privy to some, you know, a lot of the secret sauce that goes into making like a 777 or an A350.
And so how do they keep that stuff separate? I mean, you've got these two projects, top secret projects going on. I mean, if not exactly under one roof, then pretty close.
Yeah, you might think that the Boeing people really want to get their hands on, you know, the exact, you know, specifications of the A350. So what Electro Impact has to do is have lots of procedures set up for making sure that none of this gets transferred. And Ben Hempstead of Electro Impact told me that it all starts with the computer system and who has access to what.
There's a lot of ins and outs as far as who owns what, and we manage access to that intellectual property through a database that we use to control our 3D models within our engineering group. Chinese engineers that we employ that are working on the China projects cannot log in and access Boeing data or Airbus data or anything outside of their program.
So it's separate databases?
Yep, yep. There's a big vault and it is password protected on the front end. So we have firewalls between our IP and customer's IP and from one customer to the next through that system.
So firewalls are all well and good, but what about top guys? Like what about guys like Ben Hempstead? I mean, he can probably see into both vaults, right?
I would have thought so, but I asked him and he said, no, he doesn't have access to that. You know, only the projects that he is actually working on. And sometimes Electro Impact keeps employees sequestered.
We had a project for a customer that was commercial in nature, but it was highly economically sensitive. Like this was going to be an advanced technology that they're really concerned about their competitor companies getting a hold of. So we set up a separate building with separate locks from the rest of the company, and only personnel that were read into that project who had passed the security check and had been briefed on it were allowed access to that building.
Can you say what that project was?
Well, we called it the secret project, and that's all I know about it. I was not read in on it. It was a very interesting time for doing engineer performance reviews because people would, you know, normally in our system, people would come and say, this is what I'm working on and this is how cool it is and look at this picture. And all they could say to me is, I'm working on the secret project and I've sent the file to the owner who has read in on it and he's going to do my review.
Wow. So Ashley, tell me that you figured out what the secret project was.
Well, he said that it had to do with the 777 program and it was up in Anacortes. And he said that he found out about it after the fact from reading news stories about it.
From the newspaper?
Right.
Oh, man. Okay. All right. So what about in Mukilteo, like the grunts that actually work there? Like, you know, IT security is all one thing and everything, but people are still people, right? They must chat in the break room or something like that, or while they're microwaving their muffin about what they're doing. And that's got to be some kind of a security breach, right?
Well, he said that they don't go so far as to have like a separate Airbus break room and a separate Boeing break room. They do place a lot of trust in their employees after, you know, letting them know what proper procedure is. But this is really serious. I mean, it's more than just like trade secrets getting stolen. When it comes to defense projects, there are federal export controls on this technology. It's called ITAR, International Traffic in Arms Regulations. And the consequences for violating those are super severe. I mean, this goes way beyond just like losing your job. Ben Hempstead says that they start drilling this into people's heads as soon as they walk in the door, basically.
We give quite a compelling story of examples of people, not here, but people at other places that have gotten into jail for exchanging property that's controlled by ITAR. One of the ways you can do that is to take a picture of some of this equipment and put it on Facebook. So you have to watch out for that. You can bring your mom in for a tour, and she can take pictures and share it with her friends in Florida, and that can get its way back to people that aren't supposed to have it.
So give me an example that you give your workers when they come in this training. I mean, what are these examples of people who have gone to jail?
Sure. One of the most compelling ones, there is a researcher, a university researcher, I think somewhere in the Southwest, but this researcher was working on a project for an Air Force program and had a Chinese grad student doing research on his project, and that was in violation of the export license for that technology, and that professor's currently in his third year of a multi-year prison sentence for letting that technology be exposed to a non-U.S. person.
Hempstead says that that professor went to jail even though his Chinese grad student didn't sell the information.
You didn't like take any pictures and put him on Facebook or anything after this, did you?
No, I didn't. I did take a picture of him, but he made sure that it was in an area where it was totally okay.
Oh, man. It's insane. But you can also understand how people could so easily, inadvertently get themselves in trouble because we just share everything now, right? Everything on our phone we practically post to Facebook.
It's new challenges for this company, you know, that's been around since the 80s.
So, okay, going back for a second to the controversy that we started this segment with, talking about this issue where the owner of this company turns out to have sent out postcards alerting people to a mosque that's in the planning stages in Mukilteo. And is there any sense that the blowback from that controversy could have bearing on the company's business relationships with these rivals, Boeing and Airbus?
Well, you know, Electro Impact is a really well-regarded supplier. I mean, it's won awards and stuff, but this is a huge deal for them. And there's calls for a boycott, calls on Airbus and Boeing to end their contracts with Electro Impact. Aerospace analyst Richard Abulafia says this is uncharted territory because this is such an export-driven business. You don't normally see, you know, a company that's associated with something like this. So, you know, we're just going to have to see what happens.
It's kind of twist that we weren't expecting when we started reporting this story, right?
No.
Well, we'll definitely keep an eye on how it turns out. And in the meantime, thank you so much for joining us, Ashley.
You're welcome.
KPLU's Ashley Gross.